So if you got your Bible, go to the book of Philippians and find your way to the very beginning of it. So the book of Philippians is interesting because Paul, the guy who wrote the book of Philippians, man, he loved the people of Philippi. Like, he loved these people. But it was a long-distance kind of thing. Like, he wasn't with them. Actually, he was in prison writing to them. He didn't know if he was going to see them again at all. And so there was a distance there, and he loved them deeply, but he couldn't be with them. And so for this little season here, I don't get to be with you. And so as I read through the book of Philippians today, and I was kind of reading through the passages, it's almost like I could just read it out loud to you, and it would convey kind of how I feel about you and what I'm hoping for you, all right? And so that's what we're going to do a little bit tonight. So some of the stuff's going to be on the screen for you, and some of it may not be, but I always like you to have a copy of the Word in front of you. So Philippians chapter 1. Paul starts out this way in verse 3, says this: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That means every time I think about you, every time you come to mind, I'm just thanking God for you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul starts off and he's saying, I am incredibly grateful for each and every one of you. He says when he prays for them, that his heart's filled with joy. He's certain that God is going to continue this work. He's going to bring about the plan that he started in these people's lives. And that's exactly how I feel about you guys. Man, I love y'all. I love getting to be in Greenhouse and getting to hang out. And like, some of you are like weird in the coolest ways. And like, you're just, it's just so much fun to be around you. Here's why: because you are not here because you think you should be. You're not here because you're supposed to be. You're not here because that's what you do. You're here, and I can see that you're here because you really want to grow in Christ. I can look at your face, and I know you're in all these different places in your walk with Jesus. Some of you are like, man, you've taken some huge steps the last year or two or three, and I'm getting to watch you grow. Some of you are struggling, but you're still here struggling, which is incredible. And I love watching you try to fight it out. There's all this stuff. I can just like see it like dangling off of you when you walk in the room. And then you get in these we're singing these songs, and I can almost like watch the Spirit trying to melt your heart. I love it. Some of you are in here, and I kind of get the sense that maybe you're not fully bought in. Like, you're not really sure this whole God thing is real, but you're interested and you're trying to wrestle it out and figure it out. And I love that. I'm so proud of you. Like, I love getting to see what God's doing in your life. I'm so thankful for you. I love getting to be a part of the ministry that you do as Greenhouse, like as the people that come, or you use this thing to impact your schools and your friends and your sports teams. Like, you are making an impact on the kingdom week in, week out, and I love getting to be a part of that. So I agree with Paul here where he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And also, like what he says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. Like, God is going to continue to work in you. He's going to continue to drive you forward if you will let him. Leaders, I feel the same way about y'all. Like, I love getting to do what he says here, where he says, we're getting to be, in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel. Well, that's what we get to do. Like, we get to be partners in the gospel. And I love getting to do that with you. And I'm thankful for the ministry we get to share together. So students, like, Paul's heart for these people that he's writing to is my heart for you. So he goes on down in verse 27. He says this, kind of gives him a word of challenge. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Think about that. Think about that phrase. Just like, let that phrase roll through your head. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ being the story that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Like, that God loved you enough to die for you, took all your sin on himself, paid for all of it, like, defeated it, rose from the grave, proving that he's the Son of God, and like, is preparing a place for you for eternity. Like, that story, in light of the insanity of that story, let your manner of life be worthy of that. It says this, so that whether I come and see you, like right now, or I'm absent, like next week, I may hear of you. He says, I want to hear of you. I want to hear rumors of you. This is what he wants to hear of. I want to hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. He says, like, whether I'm here with you, whether I'm absent, Paul's saying, whether I'm in prison like 1,000 miles away from you, I want to hear rumors of the way that you're living a life worthy of the gospel. And he tells them three things. Like, I want to hear these three things. I want to hear these three things of you. Like, I want JJ to send me a message every once in a while. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe what's going down in High School Greenhouse. Like, I want to hear these three things of you. First, he says, I want to hear that you're standing firm. I want to hear that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind. I want to hear that you're standing firm. I want to hear rumors from your leaders that you guys are standing firm, that you're not slipping. I know that this is the time of your semester when you get into fall and it's like homecoming week. Like, it's like this is the time when people start to slip. I want to hear that your feet are planted and you're strong. You know what it looks like to slip, right? Like you know what it like physically, you know what it looks like to slip. Spiritually, you know what it looks like to slip. Have you ever walked out on a sheet of ice? Like, it does, we don't get ice in, like, Alabama and stuff, but, like, the one every 7 years when we do, like, we're all a bunch of uncoordinated weirdos, and we can't, like, handle ourselves, right? And, like, get out there on the ice, and all of a sudden, you start kind of flipping out. You look a little bit like this. Dink. Boop. Nope. Yep. One more time. Uh-huh. Yep. Oh. Throw it. Done. I watch you. Look at me. Sometimes spiritually, that's you, isn't it? That dude's falling literally for 9 seconds. I timed it, okay? He's falling for nine, but he doesn't fall, right? I want to hear rumors that you're standing firm. Yeah, your faith's going to slip every once in a while, and things are going to slip in, and it's going to happen. But man, I want to see you fighting. I want to hear of you fight. I'd like to plant your feet in the gospel, to plant your feet in Jesus, that you are not just going to slide away from him and slide back into obscurity, slide back from where you came. I want to hear that you're standing firm. Second, he says that he wants to hear that they're striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I love that idea. Striving, like fighting side by side together for the faith of the gospel. This morning I went to Sparkman High School, and I was over at See at the Pole. Some of y'all were there, and like we were hanging out at like some stupid hour of the morning, which was, I didn't have enough coffee yet, but I was there. I remember most of it. And so, like, we were there, and then they did this, like, little circle thing, but it was inside because, like, it's raining, and so there was this speaker that was our pole. Like, it was a stick in the air about like this, and we, like, stood in a circle around that because we're like, we don't have a flagpole. I don't know what to do, right? And so we stood in this little circle around this thing, and these teenagers, like, lock hands, and they start to pray. And I just got to listen to those teenagers. Some of y'all that are here, and some of, like, I have no idea who these people are, right? And they're just praying one after another that they would be lights in their school. That they would somehow, like, collectively, the Christians in that room and the Christians that weren't in that room would somehow be able to work together for the cause of Christ, that they would be able to see revival take place in their school. Like, they were praying these huge prayers over each other and over their school. And it was awesome. It was encouraging. Like, I didn't have to pray for revival in their school. I didn't pray hardly anything. I was just standing there grinning like a crazy person. Right? Like, I'm just happy to be there. But like, teenagers are sitting there like praying these things for one another. And but almost everything they said kind of leaned on this idea that Stephen talked about at Fall Retreat of leveraging these relationships, of leveraging the body of Christ for the good of other people. So this idea of striving side by side for the faith. See, something powerful happens when you lock arms with other believers. Something powerful happens in your life where all of a sudden you aren't quite so weak, where your feet aren't quite so likely to slip out from under you spiritually. You're stronger when you lock arms with some of the people that you're sitting next to. And not just in a way where you're like friends, where you get to have fun and goof off and like make funny jokes and send memes to each other, right? Like more than that, where you're like godly friends. Where you ask each other how your time in the Word's going, when people are slipping and it seems like they're kind of drifting away from God, like they're praying for their friends, that you're helping each other press forward, you're stronger, you're better together. But not only are you better together, your impact is infinitely greater when you work together for the cause of the gospel. So the people in your small group, when you go to small groups in just a minute, when you guys sit down together, those are your teammates for the cause of Christ, all right? Like if three or four of you got together and said, man, we want to impact the people that are outside of our circle that aren't in the circle yet, you could do it. Because if four of you work together and try to grab one more and insert them into your friend group for the cause of Christ, not just to have one more people to hang out with, it'll work. And when one of you flakes out, there's three more to back you up. Like you're stronger, you're better. For the sake of the gospel, when you lock arms with other people, you're better together. The third thing he says is he wants to hear that they are not frightened in anything by their opponents. I want to hear that you ain't scared. Like I want to hear that you are not frightened by whatever opponents that you happen to face. And I don't mean in some like football game sense. I don't care, all right? Like, but when it comes to the gospel, when you face opposition, when you face pressure, even if it's not real, even if it's in your head, when you face pressure to stay quiet, when boldness drains out of you for the cause of Christ and you start trying to live like everybody else, I'm praying that when you're locked arms with those people that are in your small group, that are sitting next to you in your little rows or clumps or whatever right now, like that you won't be afraid, that you'll be able to push back against that pressure, be able to push back against that fear, you'll be able to push back against those people who are telling you to be quiet and trying to push you back into obscurity. And because you've got some people around you, that you would be able to stand, not in an argumentative way, but you'd be able to stand in as a way like, I'm going to pour myself out for those who don't know him yet. I'm praying that you won't be afraid. Because standing alone is a whole lot scarier than standing with three or four or 200 others. Stand together. Stand firm. And don't be afraid. Philippians 2, down about halfway through Philippians 2, he says this. He says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, that's y'all, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Listen, I know that God is going to continue to work in your life in powerful ways over the next 2 months and the next 40 years if you will let him. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with your small group leader or the people in your friend group. It has everything to do with you. Whether or not you will lean in, whether you will try, whether you will do the things that you know you need to do what it says, to work out your salvation, to grow in Christ. That doesn't mean like do a bunch of work so God's going to be happy with you. That means do the reps, man. Do the things you know you need to do to grow stronger in Jesus. It says in 13 that God is also the one, he's the one who works in you to will and work for his good pleasure. As you lean in, as you do the reps, as you do the things that you know you need to do to grow, God's going to be working in you and pushing you forward. Or you can sit there and stay cold and not allow anybody in, not do anything. No, you need to spend time in the Word, never do it. No, you need to spend time in prayer and never do it. No, you need to be memorizing Scripture, never do it. No, you need to join a D group or a small group or show up and like you just never do it. And all of a sudden you're saying, it's 5, 10 years, 30 years have passed. I'm in the exact same spot I was when I was a 16-year-old. Don't do that. My hope is that I hear that you guys are striving side by side more in my absence than when I'm even here. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be behind you. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in prayer, and I'm going to be praying over your faces. All right? I'm going to be praying that God does eternal things in your life and that you allow him to do so, because God's ready to change your life. He's ready to change your school. He's ready to change your friends group. He's ready to change your family if you'll let him. Are you going to let him? Let me pray for you. Father, my hope, my prayer, these next 2 months in these teenagers' lives, as I don't get to be with them as much, is that they would see just what you can do when it's just you and them. I pray that they would spend the time they need in the Word and in prayer to glean as much as they can from you, that you would just pour into their hearts and minds. I pray that they would bind together as in their small groups and as a student ministry, and they would see just what you can do when believers lock arms together for the cause of Christ. I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that you would push us forward, that you would be the fire inside our veins. We love you. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.